Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. And this is part 27 of our study on John the Baptist. And our subtopic, Gilgal, this is part 7, but let's read our text. Acts 1, verse 1 through 11. Luke is speaking. He says, "The former treatise, or the book that I wrote before, have I made, O Theophilus, or lover of God. If you love God, the book of Acts is for you, as is his gospel. Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," or after going to the cross, "by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled with them," in other words, Jesus appeared to them, the apostles, after he rose from the dead, "and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard me talk about. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And in fact, a week or 10 days later. "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But speaking of power, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, behold, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And I guess I'll put a little commentary there, and after we pray, I'll put a little bit more. But Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word as we study it. And always that we would see Christ in the scriptures. And further, that you'd do something in our hearts that we would have a mind to follow him. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke is writing, as we said, and in fact, Luke and Acts go together. But he says that Jesus did a bunch of things, he did and he taught, until the day that he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. That's an interesting verse. Jesus rose from the dead, and as we know, even from that resurrection morning, he appeared to his disciples a few times. In another place it says 500 people were there one of the times when he appeared. And a few verses down from there, we see he's teaching. But it also says that, if I understand the text right, that he gave them instructions through the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit spoke to them when he wasn't there. And the Holy Spirit will speak to us, as Christ is not here, he's in heaven, if we allow him to. Now, it's not recorded what the Holy Spirit said, but you can bet nothing the Holy Spirit ever says goes against the written word of God. In John chapter 16, it says he won't speak of himself. He'll only say what I tell him to say. And he will glorify me, Jesus said. We've got to stick to the word of God and judge everything we think we hear by the word of God. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. He says in verse 6 and 7, don't worry about when I'm coming back. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. You worry about winning souls and making disciples. Honestly, this verse means that the Prophecy Watch ministry or ministries, it's pretty much all bogus. Now, it's important to study prophecy. I prefer prophecies of Christ. Hey, he's coming. But also the Old Testament gives us, hey, he's coming back. And you can read Daniel, and you can read Ezekiel, you can read here and there. Many verses, many chapters are about when he returns, and it's important to read. You can read Revelation, what have you. It's important to read. But don't get caught up in all the details. He's coming back. We know that for a fact. It's our job to quit gazing up into heaven, verse 11. But he's going to give us power to be witnesses unto him. Let me say that again. Our job is to be about the Father's business, to fulfill the Great Commission as we can, but he gives us power to do it. Now, I want to say that it's one thing to have the power of God supposedly working in your life. But it's another thing entirely to have him working in your heart. And we have to ask, are our priorities right? Are we all about lost souls? Do we weep for the lost? Does it bother us that the people that we meet in the grocery store or ride to school on the school bus or bump into in the mall, or whatever the case, does it bother us that most people are lost? Are we concerned about their fate? We need to be about lost souls. Are our priorities right? Do we care about prayer, or Bible reading, or just the gifts of the Spirit? Paul said the gifts are good, but the gifts testify the power, and the power is to be witnesses of Christ. And everything I just said goes along with it. Are we concerned about prayer and Bible reading in Sunday school, perhaps, and winning lost souls? Otherwise, we're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. A lot of noise, but it's all hat and no cattle. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we know that Jesus, God, come to this earth in the flesh. Never stopped being God, never stopped being 100% God, but became 100% man. God came from heaven, but he made himself of no reputation. He didn't run for office. He didn't advertise his meetings, put up bills or whatever, or take out an ad in a newspaper. He didn't do none of that. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, not a lord, not a master, but a servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Have that mind in you, that attitude in you, because that's the attitude Jesus had. Forsake self. Deny yourself, he said, if you want to follow me. We need to forsake ourselves and follow Jesus. Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. I wonder why that's first. Fornication. Maybe the person you're doing that with is not married, and you're not married, but still, fornication, sexuality outside of the bounds of marriage, God says is wrong. Ooh, wow. I just condemned all of America and our mindset and the things we see on TV and etc. Imagine that. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, which we talked about last time, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. What's a heresy? Well, turn on Christian TV and you'll get a whole bunch of heresy. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. But it's Mardi Gras, Pastor. No, forget that. Drunkenness is a sin. Reveling goes with drunkenness. And in our city, in our culture, even on TV, they talk about the people that are at the parades or the balls. They're revelers. Sorry, Mardi Gras, not godly. That whole list, Paul says, I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, I guess, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Think about that. If you live like the devil, you're not looking toward heaven, you're not expecting heaven, you're not looking for Christ to come back. Really, your heart is about the world and enjoying the world and etc. And it says if that's your mindset, you won't end up in heaven when you die. And yeah, I said that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, what have you, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see the contrast? Party! As opposed to, well, I'm going to be patient with this person. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and be not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see the contrast. One is evidence that you're not a Christian. But the second, the fruit of the Spirit. But you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, it says. Well, proof that you're a Christian, proof that the Spirit lives in your heart, proof that Jesus is Lord, is that you begin to exhibit these qualities. You know, there's a difference between the gift of the Spirit, you know, prophecy and tongues and healing and what have you. God just gives it to you, as opposed to fruit, which takes time. And you have to tend the garden and weed it and shoo the birds away and water it. Fruit takes time. You have to spend time in the Bible. You have to spend time in church. You have to spend time in prayer. Months, years, and the fruit begins to bear. And that process is called sanctification. Being made holy. You started out living for the devil, you get saved, and then you begin to live for God. Some of that's instantaneous, and some of it takes time, months, years, decades. But if you live for God and you look to the Lord and you stay in your Bible, you will begin to bear fruit. Romans 8, verse 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You know, the word carnival, is the root word is carnal, has to do with our bodies, our flesh. We're debtors. We owe, in other words, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Die. If you live, oh, I'm a Christian, and you go live like that again, you will spiritually wither and die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, and I've talked about mortify before, if you die, they take you to the funeral home, and the mortician gets you ready to look good in the casket. You have to crucify the flesh, mortify the deeds of the body, and you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The proof that you're a son of God is that you are led by the Spirit who helps you to put away uncleanness, who helps you to think on these things or good things. He helps you to overcome maybe cigarettes or whatever bad habits you got, and helps you to grow in Christ. If you allow the Spirit to lead you in that, it's one of the proofs that you're a child of God. Well, that was my introduction. I guess I'm going to have to drag this into next week. But Christ The word Christ, it's a Greek word, it's the same word as Messiah, which is Hebrew. And it means to be anointed or smeared on. If you burn yourself or you get an ant bite or something like that, you go to the drugstore, and maybe it's cortisone or whatever, but there's some ointment that you can smear on and the thing gets better. And the word anointed means to smear on. And in this context, Christ means that Jesus was smeared on by the Holy Spirit. We have John's testimony that he saw the Spirit come down from heaven like a dove and rest upon him. Another prophecy is that of Jacob. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had a dream, and in the dream he saw a ladder. And angels were going up and down, up and down, up and down on this ladder. And I've mentioned this before, that dream that he had was a dream or prophecy, if you will, of when Jesus was baptized and anointed or filled with the Spirit. The Lord told John that whoever you see the Spirit coming down and remaining on him, that's the one, that's the one. He's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's the one that is the baptizer with the Spirit. We talked about that. Again, this is from Jacob's ladder, that prophecy. But when the Spirit came down and rested upon Christ, and it's in my notes, but there it was a voice that came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." It identified Christ as the one, but also that he's the way, the only way to heaven. Because there were angels going up and down that ladder, from earth to heaven and heaven to earth. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me, Jesus Christ." But Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, as some think. The word Jesus means Savior. And we just said that Christ means the Anointed One. The one that the Spirit rested upon and didn't leave when Jesus was baptized. So Jesus Christ is the Anointed Savior. Now, I want to make a statement. And as always, I can prove it from the Word of God. Jesus was not Christ until he was baptized with the Spirit. Now, he was always the Son of God. We can go to Psalm chapter 2 for that. We always knew that the Messiah would come. Daniel mentions the word Messiah in chapter 9. But when he went to John and said, "Baptize me," and John said, "No, I don't want to. You ought to baptize me," and said, but he said, "No, John, baptize me so that we can fulfill the Scriptures." That event was when he was anointed. That event is when he became the Christ. But John, in his testimony in chapter 1, He said, that's the one? Wow, the Spirit came down and wow, that's great. And you know, I had no idea that he was the Messiah. I had no idea that he was the Son of God. And he mentions it twice. Verse 31 and then again verse 33. I knew him not. I had no idea. I mean, he's my cousin. We used to go to the baseball games or whatever. I'm just kidding. But John knew him all of his life, and he had no idea that he was God come from heaven, and he had no idea that he was the Savior of the world. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, when Jesus began to minister, preach, what have you, they were asking, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah and Simeon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And when Jesus began to preach and act completely different from what they knew the entire time Jesus came up and was a carpenter and whatever, he was acting completely different. And it says they were offended at him. Not only did John have no idea who this was, everybody in his town, they too had no idea that Jesus was the Son of God. But Luke chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, and he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught there on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.